Before we read the word of the Lord, let's just approach our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father, this morning we've sang songs of praise and worship, Lord, that was telling us about love. Lord, telling us about how much you love us and how much we love you and want to love you, Lord. And Lord, songs that calls upon us and our brotherly and sisterly love, and songs that calls upon us to bind us together, Lord, with the strong cord of love. Love, Lord, that's shown in your Son Jesus. Lord, yet as we sing these songs, Lord, and we know your commandments you've given for your Son to love one another, Lord, yet as we know all of these, we still struggle in our hearts to find love. Love for those around us, love for those we don't even know, love for those you've sent on our path. Lord, the people that you want to experience your love through us. Lord, instead we brush them off, we treat them with contempt, we ignore them. So Lord, this morning we pray that you would forgive us for all the times we have not loved as much as you love us, for all those we have ignored while you love us. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for not loving your people like the way you love us. Father, this morning we also know that because of your love for us, we can come to you, we can confess to you that we struggle to love each other, that we struggle to love others, that we struggle even at times to love ourselves. Lord, and because we confess this before you, we also have the assurance that all our sins will be forgiven, because you love us so much that you sent your Son so that he may die in our place. Father, we thank you for this assurance. Lord, in everything we pray this morning, we pray not because we deserve it, but because we received it through love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our reading from Scripture this morning is from the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter. I'm going to read to you from chapter 13, from verse 1 through to verse 13. Love, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I've gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish away behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these gifts is love. Blessed are the words of the Lord. Let me test you a bit. Who can tell me what is special about Tuesday? What's happening on Tuesday? Did I hear something about Donald Trump? That I hear every day. What's happening on Tuesday? Valentine's Day. Did somebody say that? You need mics. Did you know it was Valentine's Day on Tuesday? The ladies knows. I've got another question for you. And I have to ask this question because I don't know you that well yet. If I would have been here for a couple of years, I probably would have known already, but I don't. So I need your help in this. I need to ask you this question, but it's going to require some work from your side. I'm going to ask all the guys to close their eyes because I'm going to ask the ladies to answer me by putting up their hands if they know the answer. And the guys, please, Gerry, don't peek. The guys mustn't peek. So ladies, with a show of hands, while the guys close their eyes, show me which one of your husbands, boyfriends, or scallumpies are the romantic. There's a few coming up, a few guys peeking. The left side's okay, the right side, you're in trouble. There's a problem here. By show of hand, the guys can now look if they want to. By show of hand, who thinks they will receive chocolates or maybe flowers on Tuesday? Robin will receive. Cool. Okay, and if your eyes are not open by now, you can open it now. Maybe by Tuesday there will be more chocolates and flowers going around than there would have been before this exercise. Love is such a beautiful thing, isn't it? Love is such a beautiful thing. And when I was busy reading this passage from 1 Corinthians, where Paul speaks about love, I could not help to think what a wonderful world this world of ours can be if only we could love like those words on that page. If only we could hold love like the love Paul has described in these words. Wednesday evening at Bible study, a question came up about a need for us to keep the commandments of God. Do we still need to keep God's commandments? Do we still need to keep the fundamental commandments of God, which is the Ten Commandments? Do we still need to keep those? As we've heard, Jesus said, love replaces all of these rules of the Old Testament. Love replaced us. Sometimes I think we get confused between the old Jewish laws and the commandments from God. Do you know that there was about, how many, 637 laws that the Pharisees insisted that people keep? People had to keep 637 laws. 637. I'm just thinking, how even is that possible? Would we even be able to keep any of those laws? Maybe even just the Ten Commandments. Would we be able to keep only of those ones? We have problems with keeping 10 simple commandments. How in the world would we have been able to keep 637 laws? And if you think of the Ten Commandments, and you go through them, do you think of the name of the Lord? Have we ever spoken the Lord's name in vain? Is there anyone here who's never done that? Who's never spoken the name of the Lord in vain? The next one is idols. Now we can sit here and we can say, you know, that's an easy one. I don't worship any idols. I can tell you I've got no idol that I go bow down to and pray to. But I do love my sport. And sometimes when I need to be in a worship service, you might find me playing just a round of golf or two. And at other times, there's this nice movie that I really want to watch, and I'm not sure if DSTV is going to show it again, maybe a couple of hundred times. So I'll rather watch it now instead of going to my room and doing my quiet time in a time that was set aside for it. We often find things to keep us busy with instead of spending time in prayer or worship or just in silence in the company of the Lord. I've always, I've never done this one wrong. I've always honored my father and my mother. That's one of the easy ones, isn't it? And murder, that's even easier. I don't plan any murders. I never dream about murdering somebody. I don't even think about murder, unless, of course, it's one of those stupid taxi drivers down there in Main Street. Adultery. Well, perhaps this is one of the more difficult ones. Let's not go there today, shall we? And then there's stealing. We don't steal, do we? I've never stolen or taken anything that doesn't belong to me. And then when you actually go to stealing, well, maybe we should just define stealing a bit. Just let us just see what stealing is. You know, when you're in business, you sometimes get to make choices, and there's some good deals and some deals that maybe when you look back at it, you might have to say those ones were a bit shady. Perhaps there's a little bit of a bribe involved, or maybe you have to encourage someone to give you the business by just giving them something nice. Do you know that I've never, ever, not once in my life, stood up in a courtroom and gave a false testimony about anyone? I've never done that. I might have gossip here and there, nothing serious, but a false testimony, never, not me. I've never before looked at my neighbor's wife and thought to myself, man, that girl and I, we would make a lovely couple. Really, I've never done that. But I did look at his Mercedes-Benz there and thought, that's a cool car and I would love that model. The Ten Commandments is probably the first lesson I can recall from my time when I was in Sunday school. When I was just a little chokerkie and went to Sunday school, that's probably the first thing I was taught. We've all learned the Ten Commandments at a young age already, and we even teach our children, making sure that they fully understand all these commandments. But I wonder if we actually apply these rules. And I wonder if these rules actually still apply to us. Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law. So do we actually still need these rules? Just even these Ten Commandments? And here I have to say yes, we actually do. Because quite frankly, I think we still need them. We've just run through them, and I don't know about you, but I certainly find it difficult to keep these rules. And it's not just one or two of them, but almost all of them. I find it difficult to keep these rules to the letter. So the easiest thing for us would be just to discard it and say, let's just love. But we need the commandments of God because we, on our own, cannot do that what is right. You can pick any one of these Ten Commandments, and I can show you how we fail somewhere or somehow in keeping to them. And that happens on a daily basis. So therefore, I would say we need them. Otherwise, we'll just continue to transgress and transgress more and more and more. So yes, we need them. But if we need these commandments, what then about Jesus? Where does Jesus then fit into this picture? You know, it's impossible for us to keep even the simplest of God's commandments. And it's not because God is an unfair God, or that God's unreasonable in what he demands, or that God is actually expecting the impossible from us. It's not possible for us to keep these commands because of the sinful nature we find ourselves in. We fail to keep to God's commandments because we're in the sinful place. And the sin that's in us separates us from God and comes between us and God. and makes us that we are disobedient to the will of God. The Pharisees, if you live in the time that they lived, you would have think that these were a great people. These were God's people. They were the church people of the time. But they were no better than us. And they also realized they could not keep all these commandments of God. So they realized that they had to do something to help them to be obedient to God at all times and in all things. So these guys made a plan. But the problem was that this was a human plan. And what they did was they made all these laws to protect themselves. And they made laws to show up the shortcomings of other people, to show how other people were more sinful than themselves. Those their sins were more severe in the eyes of God, so they believed, than what their own sins were. And they did this so that they could be fine. And their laws, they thought that these laws that they were making were protecting themselves, that they were now pleasing to God, when in fact they were detestable in the eyes of God. And so all their good deeds, all their pious behavior, all of this was in vain. All because they lack one magical ingredient. This one ingredient that would have made them, and that's what they were doing, pleasing in the sight of God. You know, with children, I've looked at Johan again this week. Children will often do things you tell them to do and teach them to do without really understanding why are they doing this. Children, for instance, will eat, under huge protest I might say, will eat vegetables and leave their sweets for later. Children will eat their vegetables when you threaten them or bribe them or sometimes coerce them in doing so. But you know what? The first chance, the first opportunity they get, they will dig into their sweets and throw out the vegetables. The first opportunity that presents themselves, children will, even when they are told that vegetables are good for them and sweets are very bad for them, will throw their veggies out and will eat the sweets instead. Just as they do not realize and understand the dangers of eating sweets, just as they don't understand, Paul describes us. He says, we don't always understand. We are like children. He says, we don't fully understand the advantage of eating our veggies and the disadvantage of eating sweets. The law only managed to reveal part of what God requires from us. So God sent his Son, who reveals to us the true essence of God. Jesus reveals to us that magical ingredient which the Pharisees could not find in all of their laws. Jesus reveals to us the one thing that makes the Old Testament law work. The one thing that makes us not even needing the Ten Commandments, because if we love, like Paul's described here, then we won't hate. We won't be able to hate. When we love, like Paul's described here, we won't be able to steal from anyone because we love them. How can you steal from someone you love? So ladies, back to Tuesday. Regardless if you get your chocolates or your roses or not, you're still going to love your partner, your spouse, your husband, your boyfriend. You're still going to adore your partner. You might be a bit upset. You might feel offended or neglected. You might think, my friend, she got a nice bunch of roses. Why don't I get something? But you will not break up with your partner over it. Because the magical ingredient that keep the two of you together is not chocolate or roses, but it's love. Jesus said that a magical thing that brings all the Old Testament laws together, the magical thing that complete these laws, is love. Love for the Father and love for your neighbor. And how much love? As much love as you have for yourself. But the funny thing here is when we hear this, the first question we want to ask is, so who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? So when we ask that, We are no better than the Pharisees. Because in trying to determine who my neighbor is, I'm trying to make rules again. I'm trying to make laws as to who I can love, have to love, and don't have to love. You see how easy we fall, fall into this trap? So who do we love then? Now I get to the title of my morning service, so you're going to sit another 20 minutes. The title is Jesus is my Valentine. Kind of corny, isn't it? It's like the nice thing to say. I want to love Jesus. And everyone else goes, ooh, yeah, me too. Do we even know what it takes to love Jesus? But we all say we love Jesus. If you love a person, then you show it. If you love your wife, your partner, your boyfriend, you'll probably buy her chocolate or maybe even some flowers on Tuesday. If you love your partner, you'll be patient. You'll be kind to that person. You won't envy them when they're doing well. You will not boast that you are better than them. You will not be, maybe I will be proud, but not to their expense. You won't dishonor them. Love is also not self-seeking. If you truly love your partner, you will not get angry very easily at them. And you will not keep record of all the things they're doing in their life that annoys you to bring it up at another stage when you can use it against them in a fight. When you love them, you will not delight in evil. And you will rejoice in truth. You'll be happy for them. You will always protect them, always trust them, always hope for them that things will be better for them. Always persevere, trying to build on this relationship. And this love is not just for your partners, but for your parents, for your children, your grandparents, your grandchildren. We love everyone who's close to us in this way. And it's easy sometimes to love those who are close to you with these words and actions like these. But can we love Jesus as much? Can we love Jesus as much? Yes, of course we can. But how exactly do we do it? How do we show all of these things to Jesus? How do we show to Jesus patience? How do we show him kindness? How do we protect him? How do we bring him hope? How do we not keep record of all that's wrong? How do we do it? Now, Paul says you can have the gift of prophecy. You can have faith in Jesus that can move mountains. You can give and give and give to the poor until you've given everything you've got. You can do all these things. But without love, you have nothing. I've seen my fair share of guys proclaiming their love for their wives. I've seen them, and I've seen how they've destroyed their relationships by abusing their wives verbally and physically. I've seen guys being jealous on their wives, keeping record of all the instances where they thought their wives were wrong, dishonoring their wives by telling others how bad a person their wife is, just so that others might think this is a good guy. Look at him. I've seen and experienced all of this. I've done quite a bit of counseling with people who are in trouble in their marriages. I've seen marriages being destroyed because people do not know how to love. Because people do not know the difference between loving someone and possessing someone. When we say we love Jesus, how do we love him? Do we love him like these guys did? Destroying? That's what's around us? Or do we say Jesus is my Valentine? The one that I will do everything for. The one that I will go out of my way to make happy. And if that's our answer, if the answer is yes to that, how do we show him this love? How do we show Jesus how much we love him? Jesus himself gives us the answer. He says, if you want to show me anything, do it to the least amongst you. If you want to show me how much you love me, do it to the least amongst you. Jesus said, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous turned to Jesus and they asked him, why and where did we do this, Lord? And he will answer them, you saw me when I was hungry. You gave me something to drink when I was thirsty. He said, truly I tell you, you fed me when you fed the least amongst you. You gave me something to drink when you gave it to that brother of yours who was thirsty. You showed me your love when you showed your love to that person who needed it. This is how you show your love for Jesus. By showing it to the least amongst us. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, you are truly the one that binds us together with love. Lord, you are the one that come and show us how to love. Lord, without asking for anything back. Lord, without wanting anything in return. Without even wanting love in return, you have come us to show us how to love. Lord, but your love also cost you your life. Your love for us caused us to hang you on the cross, kill you, so that our sins may be forgiven. Yet, Lord, in the same way, we struggle to forgive the sins of others. We struggle to forgive those who might say something about us or to us. Lord, we struggle to show them how much love you had for us. Lord, so we pray that your Spirit would move amongst us. Lord, that your Spirit would teach us and show us today that when we leave this place, that everybody who meets us will see the love of Jesus, will see that reflection of Jesus in us. Lord, we can only pray for this through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.